So, thank you. Thank you. This Brookings-esque look, what is a mega region? Where are the mountain megas? Some characteristics they share, how public health fits in, and guide you to some resources. I'm not Rob Lang, so sorry about that. Basically, the map on the top shows you the 12 mega regions from Cascadia, Northern California, Southern California, Phoenix, Tucson, the Front Range, including merged Albuquerque and Denver, the Midwest, the Northeast, what's called the Piedmont Atlantic mega region, Florida, Gulf Coast, Texas. These are very powerful economic units. And then this state of metropolitan America recently published comparing data from 2000 to now after some of this economic hiccup that we've had with 2006, 2007, 2008 data to look at. And looking at growth, diversity, and education, as I told you, then five new realities, which I'll show in the next slide. And some of those same 100 metros cluster into these. As I said, here's two of them together. Here's two of them together. And here's some of these megapolitans. There's actually more megapolitan regions, the five that we're talking about, than there are mega regions. But you get the idea. These are bigger units of governments where perhaps we need to have some policy things going on, and we need to be talking about what the planning issues would be. So here are the five new realities, and basically they talk about, in the Brookings view, growth and outward expansion, meaning suburbanization. As Jill was talking about, the status quo would be we leave our cities and we suburbanize. Population diversification, in that we're becoming a more diverse country. Aging, as Jill was showing, that stuff about the 65, 85, 100-year-old people. Uneven higher education, as I said, there's difference among the 100 metros. There's differences among the mega regions in which ones have a lot of higher ed institutions and also higher ed working clusters. And then similarly, income polarization. Within those realities, we know a high concentration of wealth at the top and also people now struggling. So in the Brookings stuff for you to look at later on is the granularity of those 100 metros with population migration, race and ethnicity, immigration, age, households, families, educational attainment, work, income and poverty, and commuting. All of that can come out of the census. So it's pretty cool stuff. Just to give you an idea, again, we were defining what a mega region is. It's these large metropolitan areas, and they have to have something in common, like maintaining cultural commonality or functional linkages along highway corridors or environmental similarities. We wouldn't talk about going from one side of the Mississippi to the other side because the geography takes us so much. And then here is just an idea of today, we're really only talking about a few states that we're representing. And here's a link for you that came out, a full report on the mountain megas that Rob Lang would have talked about. Are we locked again? Enter. Yeah, but it looks like we, oh, I don't know why we went there. Boy, that just zooms through my slides. Did I go that fast? Did I just jumped over three slides? I didn't think I was that bizarre. These mountain megas, Lang would have talked about, are border growth, and they would have high diversity through immigration, low education, but growing like crazy. And you can see that that's Phoenix and Las Vegas. And he was recently quoted because we know since the housing boom, Nevada's growth streak doused. And we know there's really problems in Las Vegas and places like that. Then we have a typology called mid-size magnets, which are also sort of similar, and they grew. They don't have a lot of diversity, but they have education. And that would even be where I'm from in Tennessee, like Chattanooga. And then we have a new heartland emerging in the United States, and we happen to be in sort of a positive place like that. The great empty, as they call it, has been filling in with places like Salt Lake City and Colorado Springs. And then we have actually a tremendous next frontier of places like Albuquerque and Denver, where there's almost like an excitement in many ways. And then none of these typologies from the 100 metros that we see here. And Jill talked about this, but in the report, you can see that these mega regions have a current population, then a future population. So they have huge growth, job growth in millions between now and 2040, new or built or rebuilt housing in the millions, and billions of square feet of commercial space added. So think in terms of how much the built environment is going to change in each one of these mega regions. This is like the economy driving population growth, or population, yeah, you know, like walking together, population growth, jobs, changes in housing, changes in the commercial space. Just take a look at those for a second. Each one of those in millions of people population, millions of jobs being added, millions of housing units being added. In what form, as Jill was trying to show? And then billions of square feet of commercial footage. Will it be out in suburbia in energy inefficient forms, or will it be in green buildings, et cetera? So where does public health fit in? And I'm just going to summarize now. There are a lot of issues related to education, age, income, the theme of this meeting, ethnicity, environmental, natural resources. Here we've had sort of the canaries in the coal mine shown with a diversion of water from one population, which was shown in unnatural causes, where they started building the suburbs and golf courses in the Southwest and taking it away from Native Americans. And we had a session on that. And we also have the epicenter of concern about climate change, which I think David pointed. In one of our sessions, we talked about maybe going towards dry farming. And here's just a guide for you to some of these resources. It turns out that if you look at the granularity of the data in these five regions, a lot of the growth has been fairly compact compared to the growth in suburbs in places like Philadelphia, because those places are growing slowly, but the suburbs are growing tremendously. Here, at least, there are mountains, there are barriers to federal lands that are preventing growth from being just sprawl everywhere, and most of the growth has been kind of tight. And so I'm going to try and get you to one final thing. There are like four issues within the mega regions: infrastructure. Are we having innovation within those mega regions of the mountain area? Are we having things positive for human capital? And are we focusing on quality places? These last three come under the aegis or umbrella of a gentleman named Richard Florida, who talks about the creative class. If any of you have time to look into what Richard Florida does, he basically talks about where innovation occurs, what's going to replace manufacturing in our economy, and innovation, technology, tolerance, things like that are very important. We can talk afterwards. I wanted to summarize. I'm not Rob Lang, but leaving a few minutes for questions I think is better than me yabbing on. And here's links to the mega region so you can find some of that stuff.
Okay, thank you, Kenny. Thank you.